I have goosebumps. I hope y'all have goosebumps. Quentin Mills just texted me. He's got goosebumps. It's freaking Omaha time, baby. Well, so yeah, a new intro. Thank you already popping in.
That was new sick. Intro.
Let's fucking go. Let's do it. Well,
I'm already taking the field.
I know, right? Shout out Noah Frank. Thank you so much for throwing that together for us. That was awesome.
Yeah, incredible.
I don't even think we have to do a show now. Like,
that's it. All right. We'll see you next week.
Teams. See you in Omaha. Let's jump right into it. I know our preview or our recap show, we talked about Georgia NC State. Congratulations, NC State. They get back since the COVID year. Not really going to talk about that too much, but we've got a thrilling game, Tennessee versus Florida State in game one. Assuming Jamie Arnold versus a confirmed Chris Stamos and AJ Causey.
Game two.
Yeah, well, yeah, game two. Game one for them in all for all intents and purposes. We talked about it on Jeff's show. I think we're a little opposite on it. I'm giving Florida State the benefit of the doubt. It may be coming from a place of I'm so heavily invested into this Vols team. It does worry me a little bit that Jamie Arnold has been good. I do think if they can get him out of the game in the sixth, they could have a lot of success with this back end of the bullpen. But you're on the Vols. Tell me why.
Yeah, I think for a multitude of reasons, right? I think experience, I talked about on Jeff's show, and I think I'm going to lean into that a lot this year because there are some teams that haven't been here in quite a few years. And Tony V's team has been here a lot in this 2020 era. Mm-hmm. And I think they finally get it done and they break the number one streak, ultimately being the national championships this season. When I look at the lineup, and I talked about it on Jeff's show, outside of James Tibbs, sometimes Cam Smith, Jaime Farrar, Daniel Cantu, like those guys can kind of go on a little cold spell. When you look at Tennessee, they really only have one guy kind of cold at the time, and the rest are still mashing the ball. You know, you look at Christian Moore, Blake Burke, Dryling, Tears, Amick, Ensley, like there's not more than one or two guys that are struggling, and I think they have something to prove here for not only themselves, but Tony V and that A, they're the number one seed and who cares, and B, they can beat, you know, good teams because they've been eliminated by some teams the last couple of years that are just better teams and they haven't had the results they wanted. And again, I think experience plays here and the Vols get the game one victory or the night game victory.
Yeah. There's a lot of ones beside those stats for Tennessee. I mean, this has been one of the best teams all season long. Texas A&M was kind of up there with them, but we'll get to them in a little bit.
They've been by far the most consistent.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is just consistency with Tennessee. You know, they dropped the game to Evansville. Congrats to the Purple Aces. But then what does Tennessee do? They get their mind right. They go back out and they whoop their butt. And we covered it in the previous show, the recap show, so we don't have to dive back into it. But what Tennessee did and how they came out and asserted their dominance, I think if there's a coach that is prepared both mentally and with the team that can do it, Tony Vitello is going to be the second team in the new era of winning as the overall team in the last 25 years. I mean, do you think that this team can win it all just out of sheer talent and consistency? Or do you think that the curse is real and they're not going to for some freak occurrence?
No, I think they can. I think when you look at the field, it's beneficial because, again, as I stated previously, there's some teams that haven't been here in a long time. You know, Florida State, none of these players have been there. You know, Link Jarrett, great coach. Last time he was there, Notre Dame goes 0-2 barbecue. You know, UNC, same thing. Scott Forbes, great coach, great program. Haven't been here in a long time. NC State, yeah, I mean, they may not be the most talented. They haven't been here since 21. Sam Heifel's the only kid left on that team that's been in this moment, right? That stuff matters. This there's a difference between playing in your super regional at home and then coming out to Omaha and facing the best eight teams in the country or the best seven. And again, what fan bases make this a home game is a huge factor in this. As I told you before, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and LSU made this game a home game for them. They all three won a national title. And so I think the fans matter. I think the experience matters. Consistency and what you've done all season long. Tennessee, their pitching staff has been extremely consistent in comparison to Florida State. They have the distance. They have six or seven guys that can throw it. Florida State doesn't. It's Jamie Arnold. And then we're drawing names out of a hat. You don't have to do that on the Vols side. And I think they get it done. I think the mindset is there to break that curse. I think it's motivation.
You know, you said something interesting with LSU kind of makes it a home game. Who, and I guess that's one of the biggest things I'm most excited to see. Like, who do you think, what team shows up to Omaha the most or has the most fans show up?
Well, I can tell you who doesn't show up. UVA doesn't show up well. And that's, they're a niche, right? They're in Virginia. It's still some good ball, but it's not Southern baseball, let's be honest. So for them, they have a good crowd, but for Omaha, they don't. NC State doesn't show up. I've seen them. A&M's kind of hit or miss. I'm interested to see Florida State, UNC, and Kentucky. Florida, average. They might have a little more this year with the run they're on. But, yeah, I think Florida State has the ability to show up big time. And, again, Kentucky, same thing. That Midwest school that there's really no pro team around, like, does that entire state show up? If it does, I mean, it makes them a dangerous team when there's a lot of blue in the stands and it's loud.
Ryan Hyatt, thanks for tuning in. Tennessee
Pitch always Coach love Frank Ryan.
Anderson is great because he was at Tech in the mid-late 90s. Seriously, though, the most undervalued assistant maybe in college baseball. Yeah, he's probably, I agree. He's
a coaching coach.
Yeah. All right, let's move over. You talked about Virginia. Brian O'Connor's seventh appearance in the College World Series, all at UVA. They're taking on Scott Forbes. This is his first time here. North Carolina, though the favorite to win game one and 14.9% win probability to win it all compared to Virginia's six. You don't agree with that. Let's hear it.
Listen, I talked about it. I think the win probabilities are slightly skewed here. I know it's obviously got to add up to 100%, but I don't think it's, again, counting for those intangibles. Brian O'Connor's experience. There's several kids on his team that were there last year, lost a heartbreaker to Florida. They don't want to experience that again. You know, they don't want to experience being eliminated by TCU. North Carolina's never had that experience. And if you pitch around Vance Honeycutt, he's kind of that catalyst. And if you can kind of throw him off his game, what does it do to that UNC Tar Heel lineup? Well, it's to be determined, but I think UVA is a smart enough team to play good, fundamentally sound baseball and make those decisions. And their pitching staff has shown up. We've talked about it all year long. They can hit with anybody in the country. Frankly, they've been as consistent as Tennessee offensively all season long. It's been their pitching, and they found it. Joe Savino's healthy again. Evan Blanco's been lights out his last five or six starts. You know, Jay Wolfolk, two incredible appearances, seven-inning appearances through this tournament. And then there's some other guys that have stepped up for them. So when you look at this team, you know, I love Brian O'Connor. It's all business. I think the mindset for Virginia will be different than North Carolina because a lot of them have been there before. So their calmness is there. There's not the same adrenaline on the same scale. And I think Virginia gets it done and wins outright. I really do.
Yeah, I think you talked me into that play. I really liked North Carolina in the beginning, but I'm wondering if they're almost getting too much value based off them beating LSU, which they were supposed to. They were at home.
It took LSU a lot of luck, playing, though.
Yeah, LSU was playing well, and it took a lot of luck. But, you know, is North Carolina, you look at their lineup, yeah, it's solid with Vance Honeycutt, Casey Cook, Parks Harbor, and then Shea Sprague, Jason DeCaro. They're okay, mid-4 or low-4 ERA guys. Evan Blanco, though, over his last 15 or his last five appearances, he's got a 2.32 ERA. Shea Sprague's got a 5.25. You may be onto something here, Q, with Virginia. Forget, you may know a little bit about college baseball.
They're familiar with each other.
You've got to say something for the fact that they've been here. Brian O'Connor knows how to coach this team in Omaha. I think you're forcing a play here. These two teams matched up in the regular season. Virginia won game one, 14-11, won game two, 7-2, and then lost game three, 12-7. So they gave up the series. Just something of quick note in this all ACC game.
What's that tell you, though? UVA's got offense.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll simmer on that before we give out our best bets. Kentucky, NC State on the other side of the bracket. This one will start Saturday morning, correct?
Yes.
Or 1 o'clock.
Central. 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock.
NC State taking care of business against the Dogs. This would have been another all-conference matchup. But Kentucky Wildcats, the team we've bet against, I feel like every other week because they are bottom of the stat column. And to no shock to anyone, they are the bottom of the last 15 games. They're eights across the board except for Sierra over their last 15, and they're ranked number seven. NC State kind of playing a little hotter. They're number two in WHIP. Number three in XFIP, number five in Sierra, two in batting average in WOBA. What do you make of Elliot Avent's Wolfpack? And do you think Eric Mangione, the lights are too bright? And they go two in barbecue here. NC State, a slight dog, I think plus 125, 135, something in that ballpark. You backing the Cats or you think the upset will happen once again for NC State?
I'm backing the Cats, so that scares me that NC State might pull it off. I did lay minus 140 on Kentucky, a unit play or to win unit play. And I just look at this Kentucky team, right? And we faded them all year long, and we've been wrong a lot. And I think their style of baseball translates really well to this ballpark. They're able to hit gap shots. They get those big hits, you know, when needed. They're able to sacrifice bunt and move runners over, and they play just such a clean, sound, fundamentally, you know, driven game of baseball. And it's kind of death by a thousand paper cuts to other teams because you do get frustrated. Very rarely does Kentucky make errors. Very common does every other team in college baseball make errors. And, you know, outside of Sam Highfill, I'm still not fully sold on the Wolfpack pitching staff. And when I have to take one or two of these teams, I'm going to take the more fundamentally sound team. And I think Kentucky is excited to be there, but I think they're excited in the sense of we're still going to play our brand of baseball and just kind of bore you to a loss. And I think Trey Poozers pitched really well. So I think they get it done here in a close game against NC State.
You know, one thing that I was impressed with NC State is both Jacob Duden, who came in, and then Logan Whitaker. They both threw the slider so well. Georgia could not hit that slider. They struggled so bad. And if you look back, Hagan Smith throws a lot of his slider, and Kentucky couldn't hit it either. I'm wondering kind of what the game plan is here. I haven't seen for sure that it's Heifel starting, nor do I know if it is, if Heifel has that in his arsenal, how good his slider is. But that's going to be something I really want to dive into, get a little bit nerdier into the analytics. But Sam Heifel, 5.06 ERA over his last five appearances. Trey Poozer, 2.70 with a 3.89 Sierra. Pitching advantage, Kentucky. But hitting, like you said, they kind of play into this larger ballpark. I feel like they'll be fine. I just wonder if the moment is going to be too big for them, which – It hadn't all season long. They've been the season long leader in quad one wins. They were atop of the SEC and split the share for the regular season, the SEC title with Tennessee. So I feel like if you're doing it on that big of a stage week in and week out of SEC baseball, hats off to you. I don't know in this one. I'm going to sit and ponder it, but I'll probably be on Kentucky with you, just depending on that number. And then this other blue team from the SEC that Q probably knows nothing about, they take on the maroon cult of the Aggies at Texas A&M. Jim Schlossnagel, been here before. Kevin O'Sullivan, he basically should buy a vacation home here. It's his ninth trip to the College World Series, won national championship back in 2017. Your Gators, man, they're hot. Somebody let them get hot. I know Nick De La Torre posted the Bart Simpson meme, don't let the Gators get hot. They got hot. And Texas A&M kind of going cold, even though they had a really good inning against Oregon to get back in that game. But the loss of Shane Sadeo, the loss of Braden Montgomery, I think it's going to weigh on this Aggies team. They're seventh across the board in team hitting over their last 15. Their pitching staff was consistently number one or number two in every category all season long, but now it's dropping off. 440 ERA, good for fourth. XFIP 436 in Sierra, they're still second in. But this Florida Gators team is playing too well. I feel like a lot of the pressure right now is on Ryan Prager because he knows he has to win. And then who does Schloss go with? Tanner Jones has a above six ERA. Evan Aschenbach out of the pen is going to be good. Justin Lampkin 573. I just am worried that it's too much pressure on Prager to be perfect. And we saw with Hagen Smith what that can do to a pitcher. Eventually, they just get blown up in one inning. And if there's a team that could blow up, it's the Florida Gators. I don't really have to talk you into them, but I am on them. I got them plus 190. I thought the number was too big. So tell me why that was a good bet or why it wasn't.
Well, I think like Florida's playing on house money, right? And if you know Kevin O'Sullivan, he's a pretty serious guy. His demeanor is always that. And it just seems like he's got a laxed attitude this time around, which is uncharacteristic. And to me, that's dangerous. You know, he's enjoying this. Whereas, you know, maybe last year's team, he felt a lot of pressure out there. I think this year they're going to have fun. They're going to play loose. You know, we're not even supposed to be here and we're here. So let's just go. Let's go play ball, like backyard baseball that everybody enjoys. And when you look at the team, again, we talked about the talent. It's there. It's been there all season long. And, you know, a lot of these guys played in that national championship last year. I mean, Cags, Shelnut, Heyman, Curlin, you know, Dale Thomas, Mikey Robb, like these guys have been here. So to them, it's like, all right, you know, we're back again. It's exciting, but we've been here. My one concern is Liam Peterson. He's a freshman. He's looked really well, but you know, he definitely got in his head early in game one against Clemson. He was able to kind of get out of it and stretch another inning and a half, but Florida was able to then bring in Fisher Jamison and then Neely. The way this tournament is formatted, it's not a day-by-day game style. They have that ability to pitch guys multiple times because they have that day built in between games. So I think that is a benefit to Florida right here. And you brought it up, A&M. I mean, we talked about it last week to ramble on. If A&M lost that game too, you, me, and Nick were all hammering Oregon. And I think it was rightfully so, that thought process. You talked about the injuries. They should not have won that game. Oregon lost that game. And there is a big difference between beating somebody and losing a game. And I think Texas A&M skated through, but now your injuries have obviously set in. You've had a few days off. You're not running on College Station momentum. You have to travel away from your fans. I mean, hopefully they travel, but to face Florida in game one is an extremely tall task, and I think the Gators get it done.
Huge point on the setup for College World Series, allowing teams to stretch out frontline pitching, much more impact than the regular regionals. I agree. And then as we get into the TV schedule and then our in-pocket futures, this is a very good comment here. At this point in the College World Series, are you betting the individual games the same way you would in the regular season, or are you taking into futures win and hedging against? This is a great question because it's part of the reason why I've struggled to remove the fact that I do have a ticket on Tennessee. If I didn't have that ticket on Tennessee, I would probably bet on Tennessee to win game one versus the Seminoles. The problem is the better in me saw a ton of value in taking Florida State plus 210 that I jumped on it immediately because not as a hedge for my Tennessee bet, because I do still think that even if Florida State wins game one, Tennessee could come back and win it. That was more of just a value play. I couldn't believe it. And same for Florida plus 190. Now, I do have a ticket on Florida, and I'm still betting them in game one. So for me, I'm still betting this like regular season games. And
it's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Because there's so many ways you can do it.
Will I bet more in a situation where I may hedge? Possibly. But if I bet on a team to win a game, I expect them to win.
Absolutely. Like
I'm not going to just throw away money just because I have a futures ticket. And I stood by the same principle last year in Florida, LSU. I did not think LSU was going to win game two. I had the Florida futures ticket. I bet Florida again. And what did they do? They won 4,000-2 or something. Game three is where I should have hedged something. But again, that was all the way down to the very last game of the season. So here in game ones, where this is an elimination game, I'll bet it just like the regular season.
Well, I think it's how you we can't tell you how to bet. It's your account, it's your life, it's your decisions. I will say this: I don't think Matt's mindset is wrong by any means. There's also different mindsets. You know, I'm similar to Matt. I'm going to bet this like the regular season because through my handicapping, through our discussions, if I believe a team's going to win, I'm going to ride that team. Last year, I truly thought Florida was going to win game three. And then when they go up 2-0, I remember Matt texting me. He was like, we got this. This is it, you know? And unfortunately, you lose that, right? But we made a lot of money betting the same way that we did through the regular season and believing in our gut. So we're going to do the same this year. But, you know, and I'll use your example, right? If you're sitting on a bunch of Tennessee money, yeah, you can bet individually Florida State. It's also not a bad idea to take maybe not a single game Florida State, but lay a Florida State future. Because it's a double elimination tournament. If you lose that first game, the single bet, you lost your money, right? You're out $100 or whatever the line was. Well, if you put that on a future, they either win and your bet looks even closer to a victory, or they lose. Well, they still have a chance to come back and win that bet for you. So there's that thought process too, and I don't think that's wrong. Again, it's a loaded question. We're not going to tell you how to bet. We're going to tell you how we do it, and it's your decision and your comfortability level and how to bet it. But if you have a justifiable and a logical way to bet it, it's not the wrong move.
Yeah, and also, I have a ton of futures tickets. I listed them out like that.
Yeah, Matt can't bet anything.
as I go throughout the season, just about every month, I was adding a team. So I'd take my profit from game by games, and then I'd reinvest it into a futures ticket. And I think overall, I've lost like 16 units on futures tickets that didn't go up. But virtually by hitting any of these, I go back into the positive. Obviously, Tennessee is my biggest one. I bet 250 on them plus 650 at Circa just because I knew that as soon as they won their super regional, those odds were going to get cut in half again, or regional and then super regional. So, like Q always says, the value, I find a lot of value in 650. And, you know, quite frankly, Scottie Scheffler's like minus 300 to win the U.S. Open.
That's He's value.
Probably going to win it. Is there value in having him minus 300? Because that's about what the same price is. You can get Tennessee at this point.
Well, you can get Tennessee plus 300, which is
plus 300. Ryan Hyatt also said add in 15 rain delays. It's even better. I agree. That was another thing we put in the guide. The weather in Omaha should be pretty much partly cloudy and thunderstorms every single day. So that is also something to monitor. It is going to switch up pitching rotations, I feel like, because once you start a guy, if it gets delayed, you've got to take a break. He's probably not going back out there. So that's definitely something to monitor. But as we wrap up the show, is there anything else you want to touch on? Again, I like Q said, I may take a nibble on Florida State plus 900 right now. It's offered at Oaklawn here in Arkansas. It's the same lines as Bet Rivers. I guess it's a semi-hedge. But again, just trying to find that value of numbers where it drops. The only situation I feel like Florida State gets worse than that is if they win tonight or tomorrow night. So ride the 210 ticket or just take them plus 900. I don't know. It's a tough decision on how to monetize that.
again, it's what your bankroll is. I say you as in general. But, hey, the last thing I got to say is, you know, obviously we're going to be out there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you see us, you know, stop by, hang out with us. You know, we'll be Rocco's, the Matt, Blatt's, the stadium. You know, I'm sure we'll pop into Harrah's and make gracious donations to the Caesars group responsibly. You know, hey, say what's up to us. We love the fans, the interaction. You know, I think we got some stuff maybe in the works, you know, talking with Matt, who knows, we might have some stuff to hand out and whatnot. So we like beers. We'll drink them with you. We'll have a good time and we'll win some bets. So we'll see you out there.
Well, for Q, Smitty, and myself, thank you guys. It's been a fun season. Look forward to connecting with you guys out in Omaha. And I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance because we're going to be blowing up Twitter. So make sure you follow along as we enjoy beers, baseball, and a lot of bets. We'll leave you with the show intro, the new one. Once again, for those that missed it, thank you all for tuning in. See you later.